Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. Father, you know my prayer is that you'll move me out of the way, that you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us who need conviction, I pray you will convict us. And for those of us who need comfort, I pray you will comfort us. Thank you for molding us by hearing your word that we may never be the same. In your son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say. If you heard an amen, you know they're visiting. Make them feel at home. Turn with me, please, to Esther chapter 2. See if we can finish this chapter this week and start with chapter 3 next week. Thank you for continuing to pray for your pastor and the absence of chemotherapy right now. But there's always bitter and sweet that comes along at the same time. I'm getting more feeling in my feet as we stay off this chemo, but it makes them a lot more tender, a lot more sensitive, and a lot more sore. So it makes me look like I'm walking on 5 or 6 eggs instead of 1 or 2 eggs. So continue to pray for that as they improve. Esther chapter 2. What's the best way to find out what the Bible has to say? What's the best commentary on the Bible? The Bible will give you information that even history can't. And history enhances the Bible to prove that it is in juxtaposition together. As God has worked through the history of man, our country, and our world. God is not an American. Can I have an amen? But God is America's God. Don't ever forget that. He has a worldview. He wants to save the world. It starts one life at a time. And we see through the book of Esther the tremendous truths of the faithfulness of God. Esther, a book where God's name isn't mentioned once. Yet, God is present. Esther, a book that doesn't even mention prayer. But it shows us God is still present. A book that does not praise God at all. But it shows that God's faithfulness and his presence. So oftentimes we can forget to pray. Can I have an amen from that? It got quiet as I asked that question. Sometimes we forget to pray. Sometimes we forget to pray for a while. But that shows the faithfulness of God that he's still with us. Sometimes God even mentioned in our thoughts, our lives. But that shows how faithful God is, because he says, even if you try to deny me, I cannot deny myself. And he will be with us. To praise him oftentimes is overridden by how we feel and how we think we should be able to feel and live. I don't know about you, but one of these days God's going to allow me to teach on this whole concept of self-image. Now, I'm going to run into a verse one day and we're going to take off for a while. Spend about 3 or 4 weeks on one of the greatest psychobabbles in all the world. I don't like me. I don't like myself. You ever heard someone say that? Next time you hear someone say that, says, liar. Just call them a liar right to their face. Because they're lying. As a matter of fact, they like themselves so much, they think that they're not getting what's rightfully theirs. They don't think they look the way they should. They should be more blessed than the way they look. I don't like me. I got a bad self-image. Oh, no, you love you. The world tells me one thing, and that is what you love the most is on your mind the most. Can anyone in here tell me if there's anything else on your mind more than you? There can be some response in the church today. Can anyone tell me that if there's anything on your mind more than you? Even when we think about others, we are involved. If I do this, what will this do for me? If I don't do this for this, what is that going to do for me? What is it going to cost me? So one of these days, we're going to have a good time talking about the lie of I don't like me. Because I'm going to give you a little secret. Robert. So that's Robert right here. Robert Ricks, working with our drug and alcohol program. If I didn't like Robert, I mean, truly didn't like him, like I say, I don't like myself, when am I the most happy? When things are going bad for Robert or when things are going good for Robert? Bad. And as a Christian, as a pastor, I can pretend like I like him. I can smile and just go, oh, I'm so glad that's happening for you. I'm so glad you got that raise. I'm so glad you got that new job. Yeah, but deep down, I'm hot. Because I don't like him. Can I have an amen? So if you really don't like yourself, you are the greatest and the most happiest when things are all going wrong for you. I guess we'll drop that till we get in the subject. Can I have an amen? Best commentary on the Bible is what? Bible. Best way to study the Bible is how? Let's read it. Chapter 2, book of Esther, verse 16. I love how this is written. I love how it's in juxtaposition with history. We don't even have to guess what's going on. It narrows it down to not only the years that this is going on, it narrows down to the month this is going on, and it's going to narrow it down to the day of the month that is going down as we go through chapter 2 and start with chapter 3 next week. And they're hot. We don't have to run around guessing when all this is taking place. It tells us. We've already established in the first 15 verses of chapter 2, why would God give Esther favor to the king when he did not want her to marry him? It was against God's law to marry someone that was not in your field. Now, we're talking about not your nationality. We're talking about believer and unbeliever. Amen? Not talking about color, black or white, red or yellow, green or blue or turquoise. We're talking about whether you're a believer or not. That's unequally yoked. There's no other biblical way to put it. No other biblical way to believe it. If you are a believer and the other person is a believer and you are of the opposite sex, can I have an amen? It's all right with God. So it better be all right with me. But this man was not a believing God. And how can Mordecai get so excited about his cousin who he's raised as his daughter to find favor in the king's sight and to be chosen to marry the king? So we came up with the conclusion, why would God do that? And we said evidently it must have been that God wanted her to choose right, and she didn't. Shows the sovereignty of God. Now what's that big old Eastside word, sovereignty? This boils down to one thing: in control. God is in control. And even if you make a bad decision, God is in control enough to be able to bring it around for his glory. Now for your glory, you disobeyed. Can I get an amen? But for his glory, that's why there's no one who can ever come after you or come after me that is out of the control of God. They're still under his control. That's what it means, sovereign. How would you like to worship a God, follow a God, trust a God that is not in control? What's the use of following a God like that? I'm like that. And they don't mind calling me King Hutch. I like that. Maybe we ought to change my name. Move from Ken Hutchison to King Hutchison. Someone to get smart and change my name back. I know that. So we find out that his Mordecai tells her, don't tell anyone you're Jewish. Verse 16. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus, or Xerxes, into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. Boy, didn't that you see all that information that verse gave us? Huh? Number one, it took place in 479 BC in the month of December. Esther becomes king. December 479 BC. Now tell me, where can you get more graphic information than that? We're going to get buried down, not to the month, man. We're going to get buried down to the day when we get over to chapter 3. Get to chapter 4. Because the Bible wants you to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but. Woo. So, December 479 B.C., the king, verse 17, loved Esther above all the women. Can I have an amen? Come on now. Loved her above all the women. And she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And it is Vashti. My mom learned that last week. She's not going to challenge her son anymore. She called me after the service. Prostrate. Right. She apologized. She said, I'd never do it again. I said, Mom, just want you to know. Anybody ever see the Search of the Holy Grail? Monty Python? Remember the little French guys on the wall? Well, that's the way I was acting when Mom called me. I said, if you ever do that again, I will taunt you for a second time. So she learned the lesson. It is Vashti. And Vashti is gone. Can I get an amen? Then the king made a great feast unto all his prince and his servants, even Esther's feast. This man loves a party. Can I get an amen? Boy, if there's a chance to party, let's party. I just picked a queen, so let's have a queen's party. Yo, let's have a feast. And check this out. He made a release from taxes to the province. You know what we ought to do? We ought to take Esther chapter 2, verse 18, and send it to Congress in Washington, D.C. Did I say that? The one thing I like about the king is like what it says next. And he gave gifts according to the bounty of the king. First thing he did was say, hey, we want to celebrate? We need to cut taxes. Back in 479 BC, even they understood that. And then he gave out of his abundance gifts and shared with folks. My question to you and I as Christians is, why do we have such a hard time to share our bounty? I mean, I'm not asking you to give. Well, yeah, I am sometimes. I'm asking you to make sacrifices. God expects us to make sacrifices. But it isn't the sacrifices that's the problem in Christendom. It's sharing our bounty. Because sometimes we just feel good just in case God don't come through. Can it happen? Amen. And if he don't come through, write the check. I don't like some of this Christian stuff. How about you? Any of you know what I mean? You know Christianity takes over your life? Do you know how pushy God is? God will tell you who you can date. Oh, Lord, you're getting a little picky now, because it ain't that picking out there ain't that great. Sometimes I just got to get what's coming by, rope it. Can't have it anyway. And if it burns up my rope, getting them out the carnal corral. God, man, is that just something? God will tell you who you can date, who you can marry. Then Christianity tell you how you can treat them. That's just getting too pushy as far as I'm concerned. Sometimes I just want to treat the folks around me bad. Anybody? They deserve it. I don't like that Christianity stuff here, man. I mean, all of a sudden, I mean, he's giving out of his bounty. He's cutting taxes. He's giving gifts. Wow. You know, I don't like that. You know that Lord's Prayer stuff? And it's not really the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is John 17. Everybody know that. It's not Matthew. It's John 17. That's the Lord's Prayer. It's the disciples' prayer over here in Matthew. And since it's the disciples' prayer, he should have given us a little freedom on how to write the thing. Can I have an amen? Our Father, which art in heaven. Lord, I'm glad you're in heaven, but I'm down here. Could you come down here and help me a little bit? Anybody ever felt that way? He's up there in heaven. It's kind of like leaving us down here to get whipped up by folks. Hallowed be thy name. You're God. Your name's going to be hollowed, whether I want to or not. I want my name hollowed. Am I the only one to feel this way sometime? And this daily bread stuff, where did this daily bread stuff come from? Oh, you're looking at me like I'm very, very carnal right now. I'm not. I'm spiritual. Can't you see the glow? I mean, come on. How many of us, Lord, thank you for our daily bread. That is not a Christian doctrine, is it? I don't want no daily bread. I want a yearly bread. Just in case God forget one day, I got some extra. And it's forgiveness stuff. Oh, my land. Forgive my trespasses if I forgive those who get, because if you don't, God won't forgive you. Who came up with that? I don't want to forgive some of you. I don't like you. Christianity is pushy. And here's a king back in December of 479 BC knows how not to get caught up in the warfare of the culture. Class warfare. It is happening so bad in the United States today, we should be ashamed. Wow. Did you guys know this is in the book of Esther? Yeah, right there in front of us. God gives us an example from a pagan. A heathen king. Woo! Somebody help the pastor. I like that part. Gave gifts according to his bounty. How many of you ever saw a need in someone? And the first thing you want to do is go, well, I want to go pray about it. You ever been there? Well, you better. But once you get the answer, you better also obey. I remember getting drafted, coming out of college by the Dallas Cowboys. And I did not realize how many relatives I had until then. Can I get an amen from somebody? Cousin Hutch. It's King Hutch to you. And I don't know if you know on this side of the track in the white community what it's like to be black and be thought successful by your family and then you don't want to help them. Whoa. That is serious in the black community. They will talk about you. Oh, I'm trying to make you feel guilty. Oh, you missed the uptown now. I remember when your nose was runny. It's going to get runny again if I keep talking to you. You know you ought to do this for your mom. You ought to do this for your dad. I hadn't seen my dad, man, since I was 6. You know your aunt needs this. Why do we have such a hard time understanding how to help others? Because the best way to help most people sometimes is not to help them at all. Especially when there's a rebellious aspect of them. Can I get an amen? And sometimes we really don't want to just feel bad. We just don't want to look bad. We just don't want to have people think that we are uppity. And we'll bow and help people that we shouldn't help and won't help the people that really need to help. Because who is really the family of God? Who is really my neighbor? Jesus Christ told me is the one in need. The good Samaritan. Do you understand what that did for Jesus to tell the story? He called himself a good Samaritan to Jews. That's just like me standing up and going, I want everyone in here to know, black and white, I am a good Uncle Tom. Y'all don't know how deep that statement is. I just want y'all to know, I am a good Uncle Tom. Woo! It wouldn't be safe for me to walk the streets by myself. Are we having fun yet? You wish you hadn't come today. I do. I'm tired. And sometimes looking out there just gets me down because y'all don't look like you're happy. Verse 19. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Brother Mordecai, my man. Esther had not yet revealed her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her, for Esther did the commandment of Mordecai just as when she was brought up with him. Whoa, 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 wow. I'm seeing a little different thing here. How many of you see what's going on? How many of you understand that you once you say, I do? You got a right to say I don't to the rest of the family first. Am I losing you? Should I slow down a little bit? Put some reins on this horse? Slow him down? I thought when you said I do to the one you married, they take priority over everyone else in the family. Have you ever had to, maybe you've seen some Christians like this. They just have a hard time realizing that husband and wife come before mommy and daddy. I know it's nobody like that at Antioch, but you ought to go to check out some other church. I'm telling you, man, it is just, that's just fact. Now, when she disobeyed and married him, took the crown, all of us want crowns. Can I have an amen? Come on now, come on. God know that you and I are so selfish that he had to promise us crowns. Had to promise us some rewards. How bad are we? I want some big crowns. Can I have an amen? I don't want no little crowns. I want big crowns. I want God to give me 5 or 6 angels to help carry my crown. I want people to say, ooh, look at touching his crowns. I am impressed with that boy's crowns. Look at the rewards. He got an 18-wheeler carrying his rewards. I want someone else to polish them too, so they're shiny. Am I the only one? How selfish are we when we think that we're going to keep those crowns? Man, can you imagine that crown going on Esther's head and coming off of Vestes? Oh, I know. You know girls strutted around the palace. Can I have an amen? You know she's got a dip in her hip and a glide in her stride. Yeah. I'm Esther. Check my crown. How many of us is showing our crowns? Man, at least the greatest thing about what God says about our crowns and our rewards, we don't get to keep them. We get to give them back to God. You know, it's a good thing God is going to remove the flesh when it gets to heaven. Can I have an amen? Can you imagine? Can you imagine God didn't remove the flesh? How many of us be arguing with God about which crown we want to keep? Well, Lord, I give you the 10 little ones. I want to keep this one because I want folks to see my crowns. You in heaven? I know. We just like ourselves. We do. And it's hard for us to know that Christianity kills us. It destroys every individual decision you and I can make. Oh, girl, what's up with you? Esther had not revealed her kindred, nor who her people was, as Mordecai had charged her. And she did what Mordecai had told her as he brought her up, raised her. Do you get confused about who your real family is? You know who our real brothers and sisters are? They're the ones that belong to Christ. They're the ones that belong to Christ. My brother and sister could be in Africa. They could be in Haiti. They can be in Europe. They can be in Pakistan, Afghanistan. Shouldn't be in the stand. That's my brother and my sister in the Lord. That's my family. And sometimes my immediate family can get angry with me because sometimes I take care of my real family better than I do those who are blood relatives. Why? Because the best way to help some people is not to help them at all. Feel bad about it? Some of you are looking at me like, oh, I think he's trying to get personal. Sometimes I'm preaching and I can see faces that turn to look at their mate like, did you tell him? In those days while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh. Doesn't that sound like a rap group? Bigthan and Teresh. Come on, give me a beat. Bigthan. Bigthan and Teresh. I think the name of the group should be Bigger Than Teresh. That'd be a pretty smooth group, wouldn't it? Now, sitting in this gate, we're going to find out, there was a king's gate. Anyone know anything about the gate? The gate was about 100 yards east of the palace. Palace, of course, was exorbitant, laid out, beautiful. And there was a 100-yard space till they got to this particular gate. And this gate kind of proves who the father of Xerxes is. There's a dedication. When they dug it up, they found a dedication to his father who built the gate, which was Darius. So Xerxes honored his father by putting an inscription on this gate that he had built. The gate was about 50 feet long, had four pillars and four towers. Beautiful, beautifully built gate. And the power of the palace, many who was not inside the palace, stayed at the gate and would communicate what was going on. Now, how dumb do you have to be talking about killing the king at the gate? Oh, don't take my word for it. Check this out. Two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those who kept the door, were angry and sought to lay hands on the king, Xerxes. I don't know about you, but can you and I think about something? Mordecai finds out. Can't hear you. How thankful or thoughtful would it have been if Mordecai would have went and said, hey, boys, we need a rap session since you guys sound like rappers. We need to sit down and talk. Because right now, you are heading for some serious trouble. You think he would ever think about that? How about you? Have you ever had a friend or a relative or someone you know is going down the wrong path? You know they're going to make the wrong decision. You find out they're going to make the wrong decision, but you kind of just drop it and don't, because you really don't want to get involved. Am I the only one? Don't you hate these kind of sermons? I don't know, but somebody could have warned the boy. I mean, Mordecai found out. He could have sat down and said, you know, if I was you, if I don't do anything but saddle my camel, you ought to get out of here because it's going to be bad for you. And that wasn't the first time. I mean, that's Old Testament. But look what happened in the New Testament. Anyone remember Acts with a married couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira? Can't hear you. Somebody could have headed that bad, the second part off. Ananias came in. They said, Ananias, yeah, bro. Of course, they said it in Hebrew. Yeah, bro, what did you sell that property for? Now, that ought to gave him a little hint. Now, here's everybody in the church. They did it right in front of the church, church discipline. How much did you sell that property for? Oh, we sold it for this. You have chosen unwisely. Bam, dropped dead on the floor right in front of the congregation. Whoa, man, if I could have one of those disciplines like that. You don't think that'd be on Como News?
Woo!
Don't go to that church. They kill folks. Have one or two folks drop dead. We can have some serious discipline in this church. You gonna bring me some German chocolate cake next week? I got a meeting for you. Bam! He is dead. Now, of all the people in the church, because it took a time for Sapphira to get there, right? Now, of all the people in the church, do you think it could have been one person in the congregation leave and go find her? I'm asking, girl. I just came from one of the services. They asked your husband what y'all sold that property for. He is dead. Died on the spot, girl. So when they ask you, I think you ought to come clean. You know what they do? Oh, every one of them sitting there, I wonder how she gonna answer. Wait for her to get the wrong answer. What happened? She walks in the church and, what'd you sell that property for? Oh, we sold it for that. The same feet that came to get your husband gonna come and get, bam. There's some guys back in the back going, mm-hmm. You can see the sisters, man, after they got out of church, they was, oh, I knew she was gonna lie. Mm-hmm. Why is it we like to sometimes just see other Christians suffer? Because we suffer. We want other people to suffer like us. It ain't right. If we can protect someone. Did you guys hear about the councilman from Bellevue? Got attacked by a bear Friday. Got attacked by a bear walking his dog. I want to know what kind of dog he had. Can I have an amen? If I'm out walking with my dogs, I want a bear to know, don't mess with that black bear right there. That boy got some dogs. I don't want a dog. I want a dog. I don't want nothing to sit on my lap and get nervous and pee on me. Can I have an amen? I guarantee you, one of them little ankle biters probably attracted the bear. Ah, come on here, come on here, come on here, I'll take you. Oh, gotta go. So we need to pray. We need to pray for him. He's at the Harborview Hospital. They got mauled. But walking his dog. Pastor, I just don't understand you. You get me confused. What do you mean I get you confused? You know, you're always talking about God and how Esther should have stood up and God would have taken care of and all these things. And I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you. I get confused because you just said you got dogs. If God is sovereign and in control and really everyone submits unto him, then why do you have God? I mean, God dogs. Why do you have guns? That's with an S. Don't you know God is sovereign? Yes, I do. But not all people submit to God. And God gave me a brain. Can I have an amen? It said, be as wise as a, and tender as a. And when it comes to my family, I am a servant. Cobra. And I pray all the time for God's protection and that he helps me shoot straight. It's called common sense. I lock my doors. I don't leave the keys in my car. I know some of you got cars you want to leave your keys in. Can I have an amen? Lord, have someone steal this thing. I'm sorry, we're not supposed to have fun in church. What's wrong with y'all? This is sad stuff. Hey, big fan. Bro, need to rap to you. You better drop that. And not a good idea, because if you don't drop it, I'm not going to go down with you. I'm going to have to go tell the king. Yeah, see? Sometimes we have to tell. Sometimes we have to confront. And that's no fun. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther, the queen, and Esther informed the king of it in Mordecai's name. You ever taken credit for something that someone else has done? At least Esther said it was Mordecai that found out. I got a question for you. Anyone ready for this question? Can I throw it at you? What's the difference? Well, Pastor, what do you mean what the difference is? I'm glad you asked that. That gives me the right to answer that. Now, when Mordecai goes to Esther and says, you got to go to the king to tell that Haman is trying to kill us all, what was the first response? I hadn't seen the king, and there's no telling how long. And if I go, I could be killed if he hadn't invited me. Did you see the same argument on this one? Why did she respond to Mordecai on this one the same way she did when he was supposed to go save the Jews? One was more self-degrading in the aspects of maybe being separated from your knowledge box. One produced more fear than the other. But God just wants us to do what's right. And he'll take care of the rest. Isn't that something? And if he allows us to get hurt, that's not out of his hand. It's a molding technique that he uses. He allows us to get sick. There's nothing bad that can happen to a Christian. Nothing bad. Things we don't want. Things we wouldn't choose for ourselves. But as a believer, if it makes you like Jesus, it's good. It's good. Oh, I don't want to. I don't want to go and do that. I don't want to tell. Man, oh man, this is, oh. But he tells Esther tells the king, and when inquiry was made, verse 23 of the matter, it was found out, therefore they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the kings. Pastor, what should we get out of today's word? Well, I think the first thing we ought to get out of it is we always need to do what's right, regardless of the cost, regardless who we have to face, regardless what people think about us. We need to do what's right. And God will, in his sovereign state, take care of us. There's nothing that will come and touch your life. Nothing that is not passed through the filter of the hands of God first. And it does not matter what people think or what people try to do to you. They will submit. Do you know how many people we have in insane asylums? Mental hospitals? For the simple reason they feel guilty. They tell me 90%, pretty high statistic percentage. If they could feel forgiveness, they could probably walk out of the mental hospital the same day. You know why they feel guilty? They are. They need to meet Jesus. Get the burden of sin lifted off your shoulders. And you pray for us pastors, because we had to deal with all kinds of people. And we're not trained oftentimes to try to do the psychobabble, but to use the word of God. As we closed, I had a friend was visiting a mental hospital, and he was walking down the hall, and men in the rooms at times have the people locked up. 90%, I believe, can get out of there if they dealt with their guilt. But you better keep an eye on the other 10%. You kidding? Can I have an amen? When they're looking in three different directions at the same time. You have to check out the medical aspects. So he's walking by this room and this lady was there. She goes, "Hey." She says, "Yes." She says, "Come here." So he checked out the size of the door. She can get through and grab him or anything. So he walks over to her. She says, "See that wall over there?" He said, "Yeah." She said, "Go and put your ear to that wall and listen." He said, "Ma'am, go put your ear to that wall and listen." So he goes over, put his ear to the wall, and he listened for a while. Nothing. He came back and says, "I don't hear nothing." She said, "Been like that all day." Most of the time, we're listening to God, and he's not saying anything because he's already told you. And he has no more obligation to tell you a second time. Keep your spiritual wall alive with his voice. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you want us to do and what you want us to teach and where you want us to walk and how you want us to be obedient. There's nothing greater than you. Amen.